Morning, our scripture lesson continuing in the book of Jeremiah comes from chapter 17, verses 19 through 27. Thus the Lord said to me, "Go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, by which the kings of Judah came in and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say to them, 'Hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem who enter by these gates. Thus says the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, nor carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work, but hallow the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. But they did not obey, nor incline their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear, or receive instruction. And it shall be, if you heed me carefully, says the Lord, to bring no burden through the gates of the city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work in it, then shall enter the gates of this city kings and princes, sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, accompanied by the men of Judah and their inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places around Jerusalem and the land of Benjamin and from the lowland, from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and incense, bringing sacrifices of praise to the house of the Lord. But if you will not heed me to hallow the Sabbath day, such as not carrying a burden when entering the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the places of Jerusalem, and shall not be quenched."
You may be seated. May God add his blessing to the reading of sacred scripture today as we come to a fabulous text of the Bible that is extraordinarily practical, and hopefully you and I will use it for our lives, not only today, but for the rest of our existence on earth, and for that matter, all the way through heaven as well. So Sabbath continues as an eternal rest. Before we look to God's Word, let's look to the throne of grace and ask God to richly bless our sermon today. Father, Jesus is our Savior. He speaks to His church every Sunday as the elders gather them together. We pray that from heaven He would speak by His Word, and that the people of God would be humbled, convicted, built up in their most holy faith, that they might hear God speak, that their hearts would be moved, that they would be really shaken if need be, or comforted if need be, that you would do something today by your Holy Spirit that would eternally change your people, and that you would protect them from the stealer of their souls and the one who would pluck out the Word of God from their hearts, Satan, that you would shield their hearts and that they could be attentive to this Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Think about this with me. Jerusalem's entire welfare hinged on one overt situation or thing, and that was the way they handled the Sabbath day. Everything depended upon it. If you have any doubt about that, simply reread verses 24 through 26. The Sabbath day and church life are synonymous, or, children, the same thing. So whenever you hear a doctrine in the Bible, Old or New Testament, concerning the Sabbath, it's broader than just the 24-hour day. It has to do with what happens in church on that day and the life of the believer as a unique member of the unique community of grace. There is one specific spiritual difference, however, between the Old Covenant's language and the New Covenant believer's experience, and that is this. No burdens were to be brought into Jerusalem, which was the Old Testament church, in the Old Covenant. Burdens were not to be brought in on the Sabbath day. Whereas in the New Covenant, God allows you, countenances you, to bring your cargo and freight of sin, iniquity, trouble, distress, trial, difficulty into the church with this grand and glorious result. That whereas in the Old Covenant, they weren't to go out of Jerusalem with burdens, you are not to leave the church door on Sunday afternoon after the morning worship or in the evening worship with the burdens of unconfessed, unrepented, undealt with sins. In light of all this, it ought to be your goal this morning to be free. This is a doctrine not of slavery or bondage, but of liberation. That you would be free through living faith and true repentance as it bears upon this important teaching of the Lord's Day. With this in mind, we're going to study today, by the grace of God, chapter 17 of Jeremiah, verses 19 through 27. And if you're new here, the outline is provided. The title of the sermon, Sabbath Day Burdens. See with me the doctrine. True faith leads to pleasant worship and rest. Let me ask you a question. Can an unregenerate, unjustified, guilty person who has no right standing with God really enjoy fully the Sabbath day? No. Now, they can enjoy parts of it. Even a natural man, even a sinner is smart to take a day and rest from his or her labors for the course of a week. But no one outside of Christ who don't love him can truly see the Lord's Day, Sunday, as a taste of heaven, as a joyful delight, a glorious opportunity, a wonderful rest, a respite from all the toils and difficulties of your ordinary life. True faith leads to pleasant worship and rest. First, the Sabbath principle is the key for all of life and religion. P-R-I-N-C-I-P-L-E, principle. This is a truth, the Sabbath maxim, the axiomatic statements that must include and revolve around the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day. This is a very important statement here. The Sabbath principle is the key for all of life and religion. Did you know that there are objective gauges by which you may measure your standing with God, at least to some extent? And the most reliable of those gauges or measures has to do with how you handle the Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath, the day of rest. For instance, we mentioned this last week and it's worth repeating. Are you a member in good standing in a faithful church? Do you worship God on Sunday? As the elders of the church call the people together under the authority of the Word of God to worship Him in a special way. Are you one of those who think, well, you can go out on a golf course and worship God or take a walk through the woods on Sunday and worship God? That's rebellious idolatry. It's not Christianity at all. In your worship, is it just formal, dead letter, wooden, or is it a living, vibrant love for God and a hate for your sin that you develop every Sunday more and more and more? Hope that by the grace of God you will overcome those intractable, recalcitrant sins that you've been dealing with for all of your life? Are you developing that kind of strength of character, love, faith, and hope? Do you give the first fruits of your money, your gifts, your abilities, and your service to the church? Or do you throw God a few crumbs, thinking that you're doing Him a favor by giving Him your leftovers? Do you give God the first fruits of the first day of the week? And in the church, are you willing to clean some toilets and mow some lawns? Of course, this summer you don't have to mow many lawns. Vacuum some carpets. Are you going to leave all the work to those diligent, faithful few? Are you going to get involved? And from the church's example that you learn from every Sunday, as you rub shoulders with the saints, as you hear sermons, as you're in fellowship with God's people, as you're instructed out of the Word of God, will you take that into your families, into your workplaces, into your school environments, into your neighborhoods, and use it from Monday through Saturday? If the answers to these questions are yes, then you have very good hopes with your right standing with God. If the answers to any of these questions are no, then you are to be the object of evangelism. And we're glad you're here, because you need to hear the gospel. You need to understand that you're in bondage to sin, and that Satan has blinded your eyes, and you are deceived if you think you're right with God. Or, if you are a true believer, but you have not understood God's teaching with regard to the Sabbath day and many other things, then you need to be the object of good biblical, pastoral, and elder counseling from the Word of God. But see, the Sabbath principle really is the key for all life and religion. Let me give you a few examples. This principle is the biggest single factor in pastoral counseling. When somebody comes to a pastor or one of the elders and says, "I have problems with guilt before God," the first thing that the pastor says is, "Well, what is your standing with God? Do you know, love, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ?" They say, "Yes, yes." "Well, are you a member of a church?" "Well, no." "Well, wait a minute. You don't really love or believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to get this thing together. Are you worshiping God on Sunday?" No, everyone says, "Well, no wonder you feel guilty. God be praised that you do." And you deal with the problem that way. Someone comes to you with a problem about money. They're struggling with finances. "Well, do you give the first fruits, the tithe, to God in the church?" No. "Well, of course you have financial problems. God be praised that you do." So you can recognize you have need for repentance and for change in your life. See, this is how important the Sabbath principle is. There isn't one problem that you or any other human being has that cannot be solved in the context of the church. There isn't. There's not one. You give me one. I dare you. You propose, not now. Later. Propose any problem that the church properly functioning cannot handle, and I will show you that you're wrong. Now, of course, conversely, outside of the context of the Sabbath principle, which involves church life, there is no hope for you, because God never designed there to be any hope for your restoration or your healing outside of that context. So, true faith leads to pleasant worship and rest. This isn't a difficult thing, an arduous task, something you hate, something you can't stand. You drag yourself in here just hoping to endure it and get through it and go home. No, it's a pleasant experience. And the Sabbath principle is the key to all life and religion. And then, Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. See, it is the Lord Jesus Christ that makes the Lord's day pleasant for you. I've told you this before, but it's so true. The Puritans would say, if they went to heaven and Jesus wasn't there, they'd turn right around and go back out. What is heaven without Jesus? What is the Sabbath day? What is church without Him? It's nothing. Christ is everything. Compared to Him, nothing else matters. There is virtually no value relative to Jesus in anything in the created world. And yet it is valuable. But He is that much greater. Could anyone enjoy worshiping Jesus on Sunday, praying to Him, talking about Him, fellowshipping around the table after church with the saints, talking about the worship of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the redemption He wrought, if they don't love Him? Well, of course not. Now, here's the problem. The reason Jeremiah's hearers were willing to violate the Sabbath day, ignore the Word of God, and condemn their own souls, all of which are found in this text, was because, simply put, they didn't love God. That's why they were willing to do that. You see, love for Jesus is key and primary to everything in religion, in the true faith. Now, this is true of your culture today. Very regrettable truth. People are out there wasting their lives, destroying their souls, wrecking their estates, condemning their businesses, violating their consciences by doing all kinds of things today that they shouldn't be doing. And by the way, the Sabbath principle is not just for the church, it's for everyone. Remember in the Old Covenant, the animals were supposed to rest? In fact, every 7 years, even the land was supposed to rest. Remember this? I mean, this is not just for Christians. This is built into the very warp and woof and fabric of creation at every level. And there may be some here today whose hearts are hard to God with regard to His commandment. But here's something. If you love Jesus Christ, you'll do anything He commands you to do, including keeping the fourth commandment to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And you'll remember, as John said in 1 John 5:3, that God's commandments are not burdensome. I'll tell you what, sin is burdensome. Rebellion is burdensome. Idolatry is burdensome. But God's commandments are not burdensome. What's burdensome about enjoying a day of rest and worship one day a week? You tell me. Instead of destroying your life and wearing yourself out in violation of everything good and right in creation and in the Word of God. Do you love the Lord of the Sabbath or not? Now, true faith leads to pleasant worship and rest. Now, from the text, I want to teach you the way to handle Sabbath day burdens. Now, nobody denied that you have Sabbath day burdens. Unless you're a robot or don't have a soul or, you know, you just appear to be a human being, I guarantee you have some burdens. And this is the Sabbath day and you have some burdens. There's nothing sinful about that. After all, if you didn't have some needs, why would you need Christ? Why does God give you afflictions and troubles? Keep you humble, keep you dependent, keep you looking to Jesus constantly. He does it out of love. Now from these verses 19 through 27 of chapter 17, I want to teach you what to do with your encumbrances, especially as it impinges on the Lord's Day, this New Testament Sabbath. The way to handle Sabbath day burdens. Here's the first principle, verses 19 through 23. Entrust them to God's Word. In other words, I'm going to read these verses, but in other words, trust God's Word with regard to your burdens. Don't trust your own feelings or your own heart or what you want to do in the flesh. Trust God's Word. What does God's Word say? Thus says the Lord to me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people by which the kings of Judah come in and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem. So Jeremiah is commanded to go to all the gates. The big wigs, the little guys, everybody's to hear this message. And say to them, what? Hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So everybody's to hear this, who enter by these gates. Thus says the Lord, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day. Now, this is not nuclear science, dears. Bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, nor carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work, but hallow the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. But they did not obey, nor incline their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear, nor receive instruction. That's the first principle of how to handle burdens on the Lord's day. And trust them to the Word of God. The key here is the end of verse 22. Hallow the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. God had not rescinded the fourth commandment at the time of Jeremiah's preaching. God hadn't said, oh, fourth commandment, you can knock that out of the Ten Commandments. But guess what? Contrary to much heresy that's been around the world for a long time, God has not revoked the fourth commandment for you today either. In fact, all the Ten Commandments, including the Sabbath ordinances, are not legalism. All they are opportunities for you to express faith and repentance and live the Christian life in the fullness of the Holy Spirit in the age of the gospel. in the age that you are in now on the other side of the cross, in the new covenant age, these things still apply. This is your opportunity to express faith and repentance today. Now, why did the people in verse 23 not obey nor incline their ear to Jeremiah's universal Sabbath preaching at every gate in Jerusalem? Why? Well, bottom line, consistent with what they've been doing for 17 chapters, they didn't believe God's word. Oh, they pretended to. Oh, they said they did. Oh, they threw God their crumbs. Oh, they would come into the temple of God. Oh, they would bring their sacrifices, but their hearts were far from Him. And this is the same thing true of you when you violate the Sabbath day or any other commandment of God. See, instead of sinning, get this now, instead of sinning against your own welfare, happiness, and soul, and conscience, instead of sinning, take God at His word, even if you don't feel like doing so. And you children out there, learn this at this age, because the world will teach you that it's your feelings that matter. It's the word of God that matters. The way to handle your Sabbath day burdens, nobody said you wouldn't have them. You have them. Entrust them to God's word. Now, verses 24 through 26, amazing verses. Lay them at Christ's feet. Listen to these words. And it shall be, if you heed me carefully, says the Lord, to bring no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day. Notice how simple the commandment is. Remember 1 John 5:3? God's commandments are not burdensome. This is not a difficult commandment. Bring no burden into the city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work in it. Then shall enter the gates of the city kings and princes, sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, accompanied by the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And this city shall remain forever. What? Based on everything else that Jeremiah had been saying all these chapters? And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places around Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin and from the lowland, from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and incense, bringing sacrifices of praise to the house of the Lord. Now here are three amazing verses. Think about this with me, dears. If the people of Judah and Jerusalem would have been willing to humble themselves, repent of their sin, and obey God from the heart, and simply not bring burdens one day of the week, just one, not six, one day on the Sabbath day, not bring burdens into or out of Jerusalem, the Old Covenant Church. Get this. All of God's and Jeremiah's threats of punishment, which we have seen catalogs of up to this point, dozens of them, all of them would have been canceled out. One little act of obedience. And there's more. Not only would all the threats of punishment been done away with, look at the blessings. The kings riding in chariots with princes and trains of royalty would enter the city. It would be a great city. Not only that, people would come from all over the place, from the north, the south, the lowland, other places, bringing gifts and worship and praise into the holy city. Why would one little act of obedience been able to overturn chapters of threatened punishment? Because it would have evidence from the heart, true love for God, that would have manifested itself in many other ways. This is why people that violate the Sabbath and claim to love God are liars at worst, or simply deceived at best. Okay? It would evidence the true heart love for God, a willingness to obey Him in every other way as well. So what about you? What do you prefer? Do you prefer blessing based on simple obedience done from the heart? I already told you the Sabbath principle is the key to all your life and practice and your religion. You start here. Do you prefer that? Or do you prefer a conscience that's troubled? A heart that's full of fury and uncertainty? Do you prefer a threat of disaster on everything that you are and own, on your families, on your estates, and your eternal souls forever? In fact, according to the Word of God, had Jeremiah's hearers been faithful and obedient and simply not carried burdens in and out of Jerusalem on Sabbath day, which was Saturday in the old Sabbath, of course, then Babylon would never have prevailed over this land. Now, the principle of the Sabbath, the life of the church, governs everything, as these verses clearly assert. The way to handle Sabbath day burdens, entrust them to God's word. Just believe it and obey it, even if your feelings don't like it. Lay it at Jesus' feet. In other words, get the blessings from it. Avoid the turmoil of sin. And then verse 27, see them, that is burdens, as God's signs of election or reprobation. Verse 27, but if you will not heed me to hallow the Sabbath day, such as not carrying a burden when entering the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. How do you handle your Sabbath day burdens? Depending on what you do with them, take it as a sign and a guideline of your objective standing with God. I've already made that point, but it's worth making again. Now, is this universally applicable, verifiable sign? No, because Pharisees, hypocrites, false believers, they can be faithful in church worship. You have to know your heart well enough. It is possible to do that. But they don't know God from a stone. Still, verse 27's principle remains. Don't heed the Lord. Don't hallow the Sabbath day. Carry burdens around. Or in other words, do your own thing on the Lord's day. And a fire will be kindled in you. God never denied that you would have Sabbath day burdens. There's nothing sinful about that. The issue is, what do you do with them? And by the way, this touches on evangelism. The Sabbath principle informs not only your life, but your sharing of the gospel with others. Bringing the gospel to people outside of Jesus necessarily includes in it, as an indispensable ingredient, bringing them into the church and teaching them the simple, elementary, not difficult to understand principles of the Sabbath. You don't do anybody any good pretending that they're okay with God, and you don't lead them to the waters of life. You just have to do that. How are you handling your Sabbath day burdens? True faith leads to pleasant worship and rest. Here's the way to handle your Sabbath day burdens. Finally, in further application, consider with me necessary heart repentance regarding the Sabbath. Remember that the true religion is not the manifestation of external compliance to even God's law. As I made the point a few minutes ago, even hypocrites can appear to keep this commandment. Instead, true religion is a motivation born out of love that shows itself in every way, be it external and internal. Now, consider candidly with me, dears, some very real problems that your hearts have to deal with every day, and how they are boiled down and represented in the issue of Sabbath observance. And I guarantee you will struggle with these problems for the rest of your life on earth. So let's see if we can get you some help. Necessary heart repentance regarding the Sabbath. Now, I guarantee you, I think I can say this. that if you can get your hands and heart around this principle, you're well on your way to a successful life, persevering in the Lord Jesus Christ by grace and faith. The first is this. Remember this important point. You do not know more or better than God. Take just the Sabbath or the Christian Lord's Day as an example. Why do people violate the Sabbath day? Against their own welfare, happiness, health, expansion of their wealth? See, they pretend that by working today they're going to make more money. They've already put a condemnation on their business, and their businesses will fail. It's just a matter of time. That's all there is to it. Why do people violate the Sabbath day? Here's the reason. They think they know more or better than God. God, you're pretty smart, but guess what, God? I'm smarter than you. You think I ought to take this day and worship God and be in church, but God, if only you knew. If only you knew how smart I am. I've got an inside track on you, God. Now, dears, this awful violation, this abomination, must be repented of. If this is true in any of your hearts, you must deal with this. And don't pretend that you can go on with God at all until you've dealt with this. I'm not asking a lot. Neither is the Word of God. Now, people rationalize. Maybe you rationalize and you say, I just have to work on Sunday, or I have to play on Sunday. After all, if I don't, I can't support the church, or I can't forward my career. Oh, yeah? What kind of an argument is that? That's like insisting that it's necessary to put a hole in the hull of a ship in order to kill the mouse that's running around in it. That's my own illustration. That came to me. I like that. All right, I thought of that this week. Oh, God, I have to do this on Sabbath day. Don't you know? That's like saying, okay, there's the mouse. Whack. Leave a hole in the hull of the boat. The water comes in. Now, what would you rather have, a mouse or a sunk ship? Now, someone might argue, I can't go to church. Somebody there might look down on me. And by the way, you hear this kind of drivel and nonsense all the time. Oh, the hypocrites there. Oh, I got hurt there one time. I could never go back. Baloney. Give me a break. They won't apply that to any other area of their life. They're deceiving themselves. Since when does compliance with God's word and will for your good depend on any other human being? Even if there are dumb people that you run into in church, right? Join the crowd. We're all in that boat, right? See, what other people offer and what you may be tempted to put forth from time to time are really excuses, when really you ought to be making confession and repentance for your sins of violating a gracious, kind God has provided you a day of rest and worship and a church. But you need to realize, whether this applies to you or not, or to other people you do know who it does apply to, is you must realize this: how much is at stake. There's a lot at stake. The eternal state of souls are on the line. There is no clearer manifestation of this than the Sabbath day and its corresponding church worship. In other words, if you're going to judge externally, if an elder is going to judge externally the state of anybody's soul, what clearer manifestation does he have than how a person handles the Lord's Day? So here's the necessary heart repentance. You do not know better than God does. Just get that in your mind, dears. God knows better. All your excuses, throw them out. And by the way, don't listen to anybody that tries to bring these excuses to you. I don't care how nice they sound. Now, there are exceptions. Policemen, medical people, etc. They have to work on Sunday. This is understood. No doubt about it. You know, Westminster makes the accommodation for these things. But here's the last one. Your idolatry will not save you. Now, why do I mention idolatry here? Because idolatry is at the root of all Sabbath breaking. People break the Sabbath day. Get this, very important. Please stay with me just a few more minutes. People break the Sabbath day simply because, not because they're not only not worshiping the true God. They break the Sabbath day because they are worshiping another God. And every other god, every false idol, also has its days of worship, has its orders of worship, has its place of worship. Here's an important statement. No one breaks God's Sabbath, but who does not keep Sabbath with the devil. Under the guise of whatever idol God is adored and served. But Christians, I'm going to be tender with you now. Do you not see how good the true God has been to you in giving you the Sabbath day? The ordinances of church life, which are included in it. Are you not thankful to God for Jesus? If you are, then show it with your lifestyle. Build it. Here's an important one. Build it around the Lord's Christ, the Lord's day, and the Lord's church. Build your life around those. If you do, by continuing faith and repentance, God will bless you. Everything else will take care of itself. See, the Christian life is not nearly as complicated as all the books and magazines and seminars and videos and websites and web pages make it appear. It's not that complicated. Build it around the Lord's Christ, the Lord's day, and the Lord's church. If you need help with this, see me, see one of the elders. For you who are new to all this, this might be new to you, know this. You may have been breaking the Sabbath for a long time. Know this, that if you will simply admit your sin, if you will confess it, repent of it, and from this day forward, by grace, humbly, dependent on God, reliant on Jesus, filled with faith and repentance, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, come to the cross, receive the gospel blessing, have your sins forgiven, love God, show Him worship, be part of His body. If you will do that, then you will have every Sabbath blessing from this day forth, no matter how badly you've treated the Lord's Day before. Because when you treat the Lord's Day this way, you're treating God this way. Beloved, Sabbath day burdens, you're to bring them in here. Not out there, not to the mall, not to the golf course, not to the recreation center. You're to bring them in here. And when you confess your sins, you're to lay them down. And then you're to leave Jerusalem on the Sabbath day without a burden. Now you have to determine by grace what you're going to do with this. Some of you are going to leave here relieved today and unburdened. Others of you will continue in your recalcitrant sin to your own condemnation until or unless you repent. Let's pray and thank God for His Word. Father, thank You that the Old Covenant, Prophet Jeremiah, still applies to us today. Thank You that the Sabbath day was not part of the ceremonial law, which was abrogated in the fulfillment of Jesus' work on the cross and in the resurrection. Thank You that the Ten Commandments are expressions for us in Holy Spirit dependence and life of faith and repentance and opportunities for us to love You. Thank You that You have shown us many things today, and forgive us our sins. Help us to love those who are so deceived they can't even see that the very thing that would help them they violate to their own destruction. Grant us now the courage and the boldness to be, as we'll sing here in a moment, like Daniel, give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.